Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake-Up Call with Dave Crossan. And yes, I am Dave Crossan. And as I sit here in my lovely office in Manchester, New Jersey, I'm thinking about today's topic. What could it be? What should we talk about? And I thought to myself, you know what? Let's focus in on important questions that we have to ask ourselves about our finances. So today's topic is, drum roll, please, 10 important financial questions you need to ask yourself today. Today, what are those questions? What should we be asking ourselves as we go along on our financial journey? And let's start it off with number one. The question is, how much money do I make every month? Now, the number I'm looking for is your gross before any deductions, before any taxes, anything toward retirement accounts, whatever it may be. What is my gross income? What is it? So what I do is I look at my paychecks, and usually I'll go back a couple months and say, okay, especially maybe if you are on commission or your income changes from month to month, or for people that have a steady amount that they make, let's find an average. What are you making pre any tax deductions, retirement account deductions, healthcare, whatever it may be? What is that number? And then let's add on there, let's say rental income for maybe a rental property or different investments you have outside, or maybe retirement account distributions. We want to add all that up, pre-tax, pre-deductions, that income. What is that? And then we fall into number two is, what is it that we're taking home? For a lot of people, and I'm just making up some numbers here, they say, okay, hey, I make $70,000. And in their mind, they're making $70,000, but they're not taking into account all these deductions that we were talking about. Now we need to take that number after all of the deductions that take place. What is it that you actually are bringing home? Because it's a completely different number. It's a number that you have to live with in the sense of paying your bills, your different expenses. So now we need to take a good look at what that income is. What is it you're taking home? And maybe look at areas where maybe it's, say, a 401k where you're making contributions. You want to make sure that you are at least getting up to whatever the company matches, whatever your employer is chipping in for you, because anything under that, that's free money that you're leaving on the table. But the reason I bring this up is, if you find that your after tax, after deductions, your take-home pay is not enough to keep up with your other expenses, maybe there are areas where, at least if with your 401k, you are going to the match, and let's say you are putting more money to work after that, you have a higher percentage you're putting in, maybe there's an opportunity there to lessen that amount. And again, I'm not here to tell people that you shouldn't put as much as you can toward your retirement account. What I'm saying is, if you're running into a situation that your after-tax money, you're getting into debt, credit card bills, whatever it is, this may be a chance for us to say, you know what, I'm at least contributing to the match of my 401k, and the extra amount that I'm contributing, I could use that toward paying down a credit card or a different expense. That's why I want you to look at the pre-tax amount, pre any deduction amount, and then what are you actually taking home? What is that number? That's so important, because that is the number, that is the amount that you have each month to pay your expenses. Now, the fun stuff. Now, when we know exactly what we are bringing home each month, and again, if your income varies, maybe you're on commission, or it's a situation where we want to just say, okay, what is it that we're actually putting in our pocket? Let's take an average of roughly 3 months to give us a general idea of what that is. And again, people who have a steady paycheck, that's easy because you know exactly what you're going to get for each paycheck. But for people that their income does change, let's at least get a three-month rundown on what that looks like, so we have a good idea of what we're actually bringing home. Now, the fun begins. How much do I spend each month? That's where a good, solid budget comes into place. You have to do this. you have to take a good look at what are you spending your money on. Maybe you have reoccurring charges for that gym membership that you don't go to, but you're paying every month for it, or these other different services or different things that you signed up for. Let's take a good look at these auto pays that are coming out of there to determine maybe we can get rid of some of them, or I'm not going to that gym, or I'm not using that service, whatever it is. Go through that. Go through the different bills that you're getting and just see where this money is going. I guess if, let's say it's an auto debit from your checking account, you just get those statements, go 3 to 6 months out, take a good look at what's going on there, because what we want to look for are opportunities to cut down on unnecessary expenses. Especially, we're all guilty of it. We sign up for that gym membership, and if we're not going to it, I know some people that have multiple gym memberships and who knows what. This is an opportunity to cut down on that. So take a look at where you may be overspending. And also, too, for people that are having auto deductions for different expenses, say from their checking account, you also have to take a good look at what are you putting on your credit card? What are these expenses? So you have to get that under control. What is it that you're spending it on? Is it your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, going out to various restaurants, cable, whatever, your cell phone? We need to have a good feel of what that's all about. I know it's not the most fun exercise, but it is an eye-opener. And I know I've brought this up on many, many podcasts. It has to be done. We've got to take a look at what you are bringing home, what's coming in the door, and what's going out the door. And that's the expenses. Now, once we take a good look at that, you got to take a good look at the debt. What types of debt do you have? It could be student loans, it could be credit cards, it could be a car loan, whatever it is. We have to have a good understanding of what's going on there. What's the breakdown, if you will? So we can look at, okay, we've got our student loans. Now again, remember with student loans, that's not something that if you have to file for bankruptcy at some point, that you can get rid of student loans. You own these loans to the day you die. So these loans you cannot get rid of. You have to pay them off. It's not something that in bankruptcy you can get rid of. Now, of course, other types of debt there is the possibility of, but I'm not, of course, talking about anybody going to file for bankruptcy. That's a different conversation. That's something where you'd want to sit down with an advisor to talk about if that's even a situation you should consider. What I'm saying is you want to break down student loan debt, your credit card debt, your car loans. Take a good look. What is that breakdown of the debt you have? Because the idea is we need to get that under control. We need to pay that off. So that was number four. Number five, the big one is what are these interest rates? What are you paying on this debt? What are you paying on your student loans? Maybe there's an opportunity to consolidate these loans. Credit cards are the worst. We've seen it, you know, 25%, 28%, whatever it may be. We really want to go after the debt that you're paying the most interest on. So once we get that under control, what is our actual debt? What are we paying on this debt? Well, guess what? That leads to number six. What is our plan to pay off the debt? What is that plan? We have to put together a plan of what we're doing and how to do it regarding paying this debt off. For credit cards, if you're paying that 20, 25, 28%, whatever it is, that high number, consider calling these credit card companies to say, hey, is there an opportunity to lower my interest? It can't hurt to make that phone call to try to get that interest rate reduced and look for opportunities with maybe consolidating credit card debt where maybe you can lower the debt or get some sort of offering from a credit card company that would offer a period of time at a low interest rate. Again, the objective is not to just keep moving credit around, credit card debt around. You want to pay it off, but while you're paying it off, we really want to get that interest rate as low as possible. And in a lot of cases, if you work with a credit card company, they may freeze your credit so that you can't charge more, but then drop that interest amount down so that you have a plan to pay this off. So once we understand the debt that we have, the interest that we're paying, we need to then create a plan to get out of debt and break it down in a way that we go after the credit card debt that we're paying the most interest. After we look for different ways to lower that interest rate, there's going to be the ones that are like, you know what, I'm paying this 20%. I can't bring that down for whatever reason, even if I couldn't consolidate it. What can we do? What can be done? Go after that high interest rate debt and create a plan to get you to where you need to be to pay that off. And by doing so, you want to look at, well, how long is it going to take me to pay this off? If it's $5,000 in credit card debt and the interest is, I'm making this up, $50 a month and you're paying, you know, $200 total payment, now you've got $150 going after that principal. The idea behind it is do the math, figure out how long it is going to take and stick with the plan. Don't start paying that debt off and then start charging it again. The idea is you want to create a plan for yourself. How long will it take to actually get to the place where you've paid this debt down? Again, it can be done with a plan, but without doing it in this manner, unfortunately, what people do, and I see them do it all the time, they make nice payments into their debt, but then they add to the debt. Take that credit card, put it in a drawer, do not utilize it, pay it down. I know for some people, they're thinking, well, it's easier said than done, but you have to create a plan or you're never going to get out of this debt. And especially with these credit cards that have the high interest rates, you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to be paying this off, especially if you're only paying the minimum amount due per month or something close to that. Then once we have a plan to pay down our debts, get them under control, have a plan to do what needs to be done with that, ask yourself this question: what are my financial goals? You know, what would I like to see happen? I understand I have to pay this debt down. That's a plan. That's a goal. That's a financial goal. But what are some goals that you may have? Maybe it's to go to college, pay for college. Maybe it's saving for your first home. Also, hey, I want to save for retirement. Am I putting enough away to save for retirement, either in my 401k or other types of savings accounts and investments to do so? Or maybe it's simply, hey, I want to buy a new car. I want to buy a new sofa. I don't know, a new TV, whatever it is. Identify what those financial goals are. Now, once you've done that, you need to say to yourself, what am I looking to achieve, or what should I do and how do I do it to achieve this and all these financial goals? What steps are you going to take working each month? And that's why when you're looking to go to college, you know, maybe it's time now, if you're want to send your children to college, look for different opportunities to save for college, 529 plans, different savings accounts, different investments, gradually putting your money to work. I think for a lot of people, they get to the point where it's a year or two off from a major, major goal, and you just freeze, and you don't know what to do, and you end up doing nothing at all. Take the time, look at the plan, even if it's 10, 15, 20 years out. How do you get there? Well, you get there gradually. Set up a plan. I always say to people, especially when it comes to your finances, speak with a financial advisor. Sit down. Show this person everything that you have, but clearly, clearly identify what are your goals. We talked about getting out of debt. Well, that's a goal. But what are your other goals? Like we said, college, saving for a home, your retirement, you're looking to buy that new car. That has to be part of the conversation. And how do you get there? How do you achieve it? Well, you achieve it by gradually putting money to work, by gradually saving, by gradually paying off your debt. Now, as we go through this and we're nearing into, what is it, number 10 of our list here, look at your retirement accounts. What do you have and what are you contributing? So what do I mean by that? Like I mentioned before, like with a 401k or 403b, where let's say your employer is contributing up to a certain amount. I'll just make up a number. Let's say your employer will contribute up to 5% to a 401k for your contribution. So if you contribute up to that 5%, then you get all of that match. But let's say you only contribute 3%. Well, you're leaving 2% on the table. The idea behind this is make sure you at least contribute up to the match, because that's free money. That's money you're leaving off the table if you do not. So you want to look at your retirement accounts, how much you're contributing to them. And here's a big one, and I'm going to add this into with the retirement accounts. think about your previous employers, the different places that you worked. For a lot of people, they started 401ks with other employers, and they've just left them. And they've been through, you know, 4, 5, 6 different jobs, and they've got these different accounts all over the place. So this is important. Take a good look at these different, maybe these statements that are coming in and you're just putting them in a drawer. Look at all these 401ks that you have out there from previous places that you worked at, and let's use that as an opportunity to consolidate these 401ks. They could either be transferred to a traditional IRA, for example. They could be moved into your current 401k. And like I just mentioned, let's say you have a bunch of different 401ks that you're now going to roll over to a traditional IRA, and you have a financial advisor. Now this financial advisor can help you with these assets that are consolidated. The other thing too is you want to look at these accounts, because I'm sure there are a lot of overlap, and maybe there's areas that you're not properly diversified, but you're not going to know it unless you bring them all together. And my suggestion would be, if you move this to an IRA and you have a financial advisor, this individual can look at all of these assets and go through and say, hey, you know what, you're over invested in one area, we need to properly diversify you. Now that there's the opportunity to do that. And of course, now you have the opportunity also to work with a financial advisor on these assets. If you decide to do a rollover to your existing 401k, then there's different options in there to, again, diversify the assets that are coming in. But for a lot of people with job changes, and especially during the pandemic, there are a lot of people that did job changes, or maybe were out of work for a period of time and now they're back to work for another employer, but they have all these other assets, other 401ks out there. Look for an opportunity here to gather these statements and look to either consolidate them, bring them into a IRA that a financial advisor can help you with, or the possibility of moving it into the 401k that you are currently contributing to with your current employer. So that is my top 10 list. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, they're just some simple questions, things to think about: the money that you're making, how much you actually taking home. Take a good look at what you're spending your money on each month for opportunities to get rid of some unnecessary expenses, to really cut things down and lessen what's going out of pocket. Because you only have a certain amount that you're bringing home, you want to make sure you get rid of expenses that are you're not even utilizing, or I should say different bills. Like I said, the famous one is the gym membership that we're not utilizing. Do we need to be spending 50, 60 bucks a month on something that we're not even going to the gym, or maybe have multiple gym memberships or whatever? I'm just throwing random examples out there. But anyway, with that being said, the other aspects of it too are, you know, what is your debt? How much debt do you have out there? Let's look for an opportunity to pay down this debt. What is the game plan, especially with the debt that has the high interest rates? And bottom line with all this, identify your goals. What are you really trying to accomplish? Of course, paying off the debt is a major goal, but what are some other goals out there that you want to do, and how do we get you on the plan to do it? And finally, with these retirement accounts, let's gather them, let's consolidate them, let's make sure that you're not set up in a way that you're not properly diversified. That's where you can get help from a financial advisor to bring them into a traditional IRA, or it could go into your existing 401k. Hopefully you felt this was useful. I did. I enjoyed going over these different financial questions. Of course, feel free to reach out to me. My phone number is the main number, 732-902-7880. Of course, visit us at shorelinewealth.com. We have offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk next time. Take care.